You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Good evening and welcome to the show. Give you a little behind the scenes, curtain lifting. Get the screen out of the way and find out the truth. I'm your old buddy Troy. This is our first recording that we've done in about a month because I had a baby, a third baby. I have a beautiful baby girl now. Very exciting. So I've got Archer, I've got Dash, and now a little girl, Evie. Very exciting. However, I sometimes tune into the show on Thursday nights just to see like what kind of crowd we got of people enjoying the episode. And for several of those episodes over the past few weeks, I've seen people make comments to the effect of, oh, Troy's got that new dad look. That was a pre-existing condition, and I am offended that people would say that. That haggard, downtrodden, beat-up look, that was all before the third kid.
Troy, can I just say, though, you now have that post-pregnancy glow.
Well, thank you. You know what? I was waiting for someone to say that. I do feel like I'm glowing.
Are your fingernails feeling terrific?
They really are. We've pushed back recordings now a little bit later, and having just gone through the gauntlet that is bedtime now, we need to start recording at 11 o'clock at night. It's really the only way that I'll be comfortable making sure that all three of them are ready for bed. But I'm excited to be back. I have not played a game in a month. Feels like a month, right?
Yeah, basically a month.
You guys have played games?
Not me. Yeah. We've played lots of games.
Lots of games.
Kate, did you play any games?
No, I didn't, because you know why? The Sims 4 came out with a new expansion, which is like great and all of that. But they added infants to the game, and it broke all my mods. So I can't play until all the mods catch up.
I swore you were going to say, so I too know what it's like.
So I too know what it's like to have an infant. No, I don't know what it's like.
Kate's got that new Sims 4 DLC look about her.
I just re-downloaded all my DLC yesterday, so tomorrow I'll know what it's like.
What is the DLC? What is the name of it?
Yeah, is this a new one for Sims 4?
It's a new expansion pack called Growing Together. This is not sponsored. Wink, sponsor me.
Yeah, please.
And they added infants to the game and a lot of like family gameplay and like tons of crap, and it broke every mod.
Wow. That is what happens with infants.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. They often will disrupt your kit. Do you have all the DLC for Sims 4?
Like two kits that I just didn't want, but I have it all. And I have tons of mods.
This is the first time. I don't know anything about The Sims. This is the first time in the history of The Sims that there's infants?
That's why I was asking. It seems like a really regular part of life.
So there's babies, and they're basically objects. They stay in the basket, and then they grow up to toddlers.
And toddlers
kind of walk around.
Yeah, toddlers is like cute.
Teens, young adults, elders. They added infant in between baby and toddler. So now you have this that like kind of lays around, and you can push it in a stroller or something. I don't know. I haven't played
it yet. Occasionally crawls over and puts its finger in an electric socket.
Yeah.
Or its tongue.
Exactly.
Or it spits up on you 5 minutes before this, and you just throw a green hoodie over it.
And then you think you've cleaned the shirt off, and then you clean it and throw it in the laundry, and it comes out of the laundry and just has a weird like greasy stain that's like a continent on your shoulder. You're like, well, all right, I'll wear that shirt again.
I was amazed by the spit up, how it would just be this tiny, tiny little baby, just go a little bit of spit up on your shirt. You're like, and then you catch the whiff of that like stomach acid, and it smells exactly like your 200-pound buddy throwing up in a bathroom in college. And you're just like, how did this little baby make this smell come back in my life? This is ridiculous. Yeah, it all smells the same. They're puke. It's so horrible.
Puke is puke.
Puke is puke, man.
When's the last time you puked, Joe? You big puker?
No, I am not a big man. I am so not a puker.
You never pulled the trigger after a long night of drinking?
I'm telling you, no, never, never once. I also never threw up from drinking, never once. And I just when I have the stomach flu, like when I've got the full blown awfulness. It's amazing to me, like, how long I will go without pulling the trigger, because I'm like, I feel horrible. Like, I feel so horrible. And I'm like, if I would just pull the trigger, I'd get some relief. You know what I mean? And I just sit there shaking. Like, I'm going to do it now. I'll do it in 5 minutes.
It's the worst feeling. It's a complete loss of control. It's the worst thing. But then, yeah, you instantly feel better afterwards. But that moment is just, it's the worst. It's like having the alien chest burster come out of you. You know,
it really is. Are like bulging. It's the worst.
To this day, I don't know if I've ever said it on the show before, but I think it is the one thing that, despite all of the great work that has gone into some of the greatest, most realistic movies I've ever seen and TV shows, no one ever makes throwing up look what it really looks like. Like, it is impossible to pull off. And it, like, these, like, really, really dedicated directors, they still just put some in somebody's mouth and they go, that's not what it's like. It's this, like, convulsive, like, horrible, like, yeah, your mouth is just wide open and shit is just flying out.
It burns. Your eyes are popping out of your head. Yeah,
and it keeps going. It's like you get one. It's like, oh, wait, here it comes again. Oh.
Like, what's left? Just nothing but acid. And then it's just acid that's just scalding your entire throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Then you just dry heave for 2 hours after because your body is already like in it. I hate throwing up. I'm with you, Joe. Yeah, I'm also bad at it. Like, I'm not, I know, like, nobody's good at it. It's like, you know, some people are beautiful criers. Nobody's a beautiful thrower upper. Like, there's no way to do it nicely. But whatever the other end of that spectrum is, like, the worst possible way to do it, that's me. I'm like coughing. I like can't get the breathing right. So it's a lot of like forceful coughing. It is a nightmare for me to throw up. And I had food poisoning recently in Italy when I went to Italy. It was too much delicious cheese and, you know, sopressata and grappa.
Week old shrimp.
Yeah. A few oysters. I was in a mountain town. We shouldn't have had oysters in a mountain town, but God, it was just like, yeah, I'm not good at throwing up. And that was the most recent time I did. And as an adult, it's just so much worse. You're like, babies do this. I shouldn't have to do this. This is horrible. Ugh.
Babies kind of do it cute because they don't convulse. They're just like, and it just
flies out of their mouth. Well, there's spit up and then there's vomit.
Sure.
It's just like, they all of a sudden they're just like, the vomit is terrible.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
You're like, my throat's on fire. I need water. Oh, that's so much better. I can't catch a break.
Pretty gross.
Well, anybody else throw up tonight? Call in. Tell us in the chat if you're big pukers.
I think it's really bold of us, by the way, to take a firm anti-vomit stance.
Yeah, it is a very polarizing topic. I'm surprised we all land on the "we don't like throwing up" side of throwing up.
Kate, you've been really quiet, actually.
Suspiciously quiet, some might say.
Yep. You know what's nice sometimes about like puking?
There you go.
So you feel better afterwards, but like my pukes are like the burpy ones. So it's like, as you're doing it, and it kind of feels nice.
Oh boy.
Wish we had that.
Burp and vomit. Yeah. Oh. No, I don't have like the super strainy kind. It's pretty controlled, I guess. I don't know.
Lucky you.
I'm cute. What can I say?
I knew it. I knew you were a cute puker.
Classic cute puker.
Yep.
Well, you guys are going to puke tonight when you see what I have to throw at you.
Throw up at us. I'm just imagining like a Pathfinder encounter so intense that the players just start vomiting. What's his AC?
Have you guys, this is off topic, have you guys seen History of the World Part 1?
No. Of course.
So they made a TV case.
Of course. No.
They made a TV show, History of the World Part 2.
You hear about this?
And you guys hear about this? Has anybody watched it?
Not yet.
It's all right. It's pretty funny. There's some good writers on it. Nick Kroll is on it. I like his writing. But there's one skit where they're sailing on a big ship into D-Day, and they're all in uniform, and they all just start vomiting, like comedically vomiting one after another. And it's like they all have different reasons. One of them is like, I get seasick. And then another one's like, I left camp last night because we were in France and I wanted to try escargot. And they're all just vomiting on each other in this bunker ship. And then the captain starts vomiting. And it's like a classic. It's a classic vomit comedy. So if anybody in the chat loves vomiting, go check that out.
It's good. Oh, yeah. That was part of my formative youth, was watching History of the World Part 1. We had one of my buddies had a VHS of it that cut off before the end. So we would just watch that over and over again. Oh. But I never saw like the last 20 minutes
the previews,
of the movie.
The previews for part two at the end.
You never knew the preview?
I've still never seen
space and
you know they sell, they're called, I think, DVDs?
Movies.
I can't go back. Biggest, stickest.
That's Life of Brian.
Is that Life of Brian?
Yes.
What was... There was something about a dick in history.
Probably.
Oh, it's Madeline Kahn when she's going picking up.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. All right. I'm on low sleep. However, it didn't take me a lot of sleep to do what I did here on Roll 20. Let's check it out. Do you see all the notes I have, or are they hidden to you?
They're hidden.
Okay. They're not.
Mission accomplished.
They shouldn't be. They're on the token layer.
just the symbols on the.
So the one time you want us to read all of the notes, it's not, you can't.
It's probably because it's hidden behind the fog of war. But I want you to see it. So here's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to drag it
over you right there.
Whoa.
Okay. So you can see the notes here. We have this dude up top here, this denizen of Lang has, because there was so much shit going on, I had to just rewatch and rescan, has persistent fire 4. 3 images, so all images intact, and Aldo is doomed 1. And on our next row of people here, my denizen of Lang is frightened 1. There's 1 image. Eris has 4 images. That really should be 3 images. There's 4 total, but 3 images. And Ethel has 1d6 bleed and 1d4 mental, and Abacus is invisible.
Wait, Ethel has 1d4 mental persistent?
Yeah, that's
from... Is it persistent, or is it one time?
Yeah, it's from the Phantom John.
That's scary.
Then the guy down the bottom, that denizen of Lang, is flat-footed until he walks a cumulative 40 feet.
Oh, that's right. Because
of some fumble.
Oh, right.
Fumble.
Only has 1 image left, and Suki has 1d6 bleed.
Oh, yes. Okay, I forgot.
Suki is the bear rug?
Yeah, Suki
I'm
is the bear.
I'm a bear. I'm a normal bear.
Here's what. Oh shit! Oh no!
Before we start recording, Sydney goes, "Oh, I forgot I was a bear."
Oh great! I can move that back.
I laughed and laughed.
You know what I'll do is just so you guys can read it. I'm going to move it over to the side, and then I'm going to reveal it to you on top of this little shed here. There you go. So everybody knows what's what.
So for the first time in Glass Cannon history, we get to see the wall.
Yes. You know what?
Thank God. I'm just tired of working in these little black boxes. Give us a little view.
I show you too much.
Well, now we know we can jump onto the roof.
Excellent.
That is impassable.
I'd like to teleport onto the roof, please. I see it on the map.
I climb out the window.
All right, get ready to puke. It's the top of round 4.
Oh, my God.
And it is the denizen of Lang's turn to the south. The furthest one south, the one that is right next to Bleeding Suki.
That her wrestling name?
Bleeding Suki Lang.
Her bear wrestling name.
All right. He is going to slash at you with his kukri. First action. And that's going to be a 29 to hit your thick bear hide.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's going to hit.
All right. Good. It's going to do 15 points of damage.
Oh, brother.
You already have the persistent bleed on there, so that's not going to stack. Then, just because I can, I'm going to try and take a bite out of you with the second attack, and I'm assuming miss with a 21.
Yes, that misses.
Okay, and then I can't remember if you have an attack of opportunity now that you're a bear, yeah. But I am going to back up into the far corner of the room. And now it is, let's see, he's got, that's only 10 feet, so I'm still flat-footed. I still have my image intact. All right, so it is Ethel's turn.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to skip it?
Cool.
No, I want it. I just thought I was going to have to wait a little while, take a little more, heat from everybody. I'm going to go after, I'm going to go after the Denizen of Lang to my south, to help my buddy Eris out.
Okay.
So I'm going to do, the old double slice.
The old double slice, eh?
And I'm going to do orange for the scimitar. Not that you can see that at home, but just so I keep myself honest. Remember, like the scimitar is Vorpal.
Okay.
All right.
Just keeping track at home. The scimitar is Vorpal.
That's a 31 on the Warhammer and a 34 on the scimitar.
That is two hits.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Good start. Good start.
Now, wait, they do have one image left. So roll for the Warhammer, because assuming you're swinging with that first, it is going to be with only one image left. It's a 1 to 3 or on a 1d6.
D6, you say, eh?
Yeah.
Crack die.
I bet.
Five.
Five. All right, so the Warhammer destroys an image, and then there's no images left, and your Vorpal Scimitar strikes true.
Yes. Of course you would choose that way. It does surprisingly less damage.
You did say the Warhammer first.
That is 12 points of damage from the Scimitar.
Okay.
And then I am going to use my I want to shove you. No, because I'm going to take the multiple attack penalty. How do I help Eris out?
Good luck.
Yeah, I know, right? Eris is just want the help. Okay, I'm going to try to demoralize this guy.
He was like, I'm going to try to demoralize Eris.
You learned something from Eris, demoralizing people.
So Ethel is just going to say, you think you can destroy us? We're going to take all of you out. I'm going to cave your head in with this hammer, man. And I will roll intimidation.
Okay.
And roll natural one.
Oh.
All right, he laughs like he told a funny joke. Which catches him off guard, and now he's flat-footed.
So now I take a whole shitload of damage?
So you're going to take first the 1d6, which will be 2, and then you'll take the 1d4, which will be 1. So 3 points of damage. Now give me 2 flat checks here. First for the bleed.
7.
Gross. And then for the mental.
7. That was 2 Yikes. Separate dice. 2 separate dice.
Those checks couldn't be flatter if they tried. And now it's sadly still my turn. thought I could catch a break there.
Yeah. Can't you just get a break for a minute?
Check out some prices on eBay, but nope. It's back to me. It's the guy that you just attacked, and by gum, he's mad. Good. He's mad that you would do such a thing. And so he is going to... He is going to try to bite you, try to debilitate you with his bite, and that's going to be a natural one, just to kick things off. He's frightened. He didn't know if he wanted to bite you. He was still laughing at your funny joke.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
He's on an emotional roller coaster right now.
Oh, boy. Okay. Fed Fumbles coming to you from Zion in Central Point, Oregon.
Hi, Zion. Zion Williamson?
Hi, Zion. Ooh. Zion Williamson?
During a road game?
This one is called Mayonnaise. You abruptly find yourself slipping in an errant puddle. of fresh mayonnaise, which had escaped the notice of everyone nearby until now. You deal no damage and immediately fall prone.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Okay. You're just straight up prone. You're prone.
All right. For my second action, I will stand up. Afro, if you'd like to take your AOL, you may.
I'm going to use the scimitar. Just hope for that natural 20.
Let's decapitate someone for once.
Natural 15, though, so that'll be a 20, 32 to hit.
32 is a hit. And he has no images left.
11 points of damage.
Son of a biscuit. Okay.
Nice.
All right, now that you've done that... Oh, no, that's... Fuck, that's two actions. Shit. All right, I'm out of... I've got one action left. I'm going to go and try and stab you with my kukri with the multiple attack penalty. That's going to be a 28.
That hits.
Okay, great.
I'm frightened. I'm sickened. I'm sickened.
Okay. That is going to be... Oh, almost max damage. 17 points of slashing damage. You still have the persistent bleed. That will stay on. And then he's going to stay there. I could have moved away, but I was... smarting from that fall. And then lastly, it's the guy up top who is going to kick things off by touching you with a chill touch. So go ahead and give me a fortitude save.
When you say you, that's still me?
Yes. Yes. Now that you've used your reaction.
There's the natural 20.
Ooh.
Sweet. Nice. Critical success means you're unaffected.
That's very true.
Yes.
I love that,
Joe. Generally speaking, very true.
I don't care for that. So I am now going to move away. Yeah, I'm going to move away to the south of Atticus. And that is his turn. Now we're going to kick it over to old Atticus Grimm himself. You just got one of these denizens of Lang up in your business. But you are invisible.
Old Atticus Grimm himself. Okay, Atticus is going to try to... He's going to try to get some information here. So, while invisible, he begins mumbling. Casting a spell under his breath. Trying to be quiet with this thing right next to him. And accompanying this whispering and these hand movements, materializing right in between Atticus and Ethel is the Yellow King.
Oh.
The one that you met earlier?
The one that we met earlier. Oh. And so I'm casting Illusory Creature. So I'm going to bring in the Yellow King, see if I can gauge a reaction from any of these denizens of Lang, if they've seen him or anything like that. And then I will use an action to speak through the spell, basically. So I need to use an action for him to speak, and I sort of actually do it, but the spell magically transforms my voice. Now, the question would be, Troy, if they... recognize him at all, in which case I would need to roll a check, like if they know him or have spoken to him. I would need to roll a deception or a performance.
There he is,
that handsome fella. And he says, what is the meaning of this?
All right, so he just appears.
I love this.
Okay, and they all look, and they look at each other, and then they look out the door to the north.
Oh, whoa.
He's in the door to... The door to the north! And that's it? What else do they do?
They look out the door and...
They look out the door and they look at him. Yeah, they've been speaking in common. I guess you could say like...
And he'll say, you've made a grave mistake. Something like cryptic and weird. That could be for anyone, but he's kind of looking at them.
All right, we'll say the one then to the south that says, how did you get away from Wairale? Where is she?
Yes. And I'm not sure how long, like, this action can go on that I'm using to I should roll, probably, right, at this point, because they know who he is.
Okay, all right, so what is the roll in the verbiage of the spell to do?
A deception or performance check if the creatures are somewhat, if you're imitating a specific creature that somebody would recognize.
Yeah, they recognize, so go ahead and roll your deception.
Okay.
And is it going to be against their perception DC?
It's up to you. It might be against their class DC, but perception DC is good for deception usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, heads up. Natural 20.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Natural 20. So, come on, give me a break here. He says the perfect thing, whatever the perfect thing is. Like, oh, Weirali is...
What would that be?
You mean where? You mean Weirali, the... I don't know how to word this. So like, Weirali told me to stop all this madness. These are my friends. These are her friends.
And they...
Lay down your arms.
They look at each other and says... And they say, oh no, you're trying to deceive us. You escaped. You are her prisoner.
Ah, perfect. Great.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's sort of like what I wanted. I just wanted to get some intel.
Yeah, no, that was good. I was not expecting that. I had to like scan through months of old images that I have here on the side. Okay, very cool. Okay, so we'll see how that's going to play out then. Do you have any actions left?
No, so it's two actions to cast the spell, and then I figured it's another action, because it says you can use your actions to speak through the creature with the spell disguising your voice as appropriate. You can use your actions, but yeah, I'm just going to say that that took an action, because I have to sustain the spell to give this thing any actions, and I don't want to attack right now, so all I did was use language.
And basically, sustaining a spell is an action.
Is an action.
Okay, great. So then let's kick it over to Suki Bear.
Suki Bear. Suki Bear is still a bear, and this very, like, intriguing thing is happening between this man, who actually Suki hasn't seen. Suki was not there when you guys met the Yellow King. So she, too.
But did say, like, you know, these are her friends. You know, lay down your arms to these denizens of Lang.
Yeah. But she's like, whoa, she's a big bear. So she's like, I'm just going to bite this guy.
I'm going to bite this guy's butt. He's right in front of me.
So she's going to bite the denizen of Lang, who is next to Eris and Ethel, the one who's been giving them all the trouble.
Okay. That's the one that's frightened.
Oh, right. Away. Yes. Aha. So scared because I'm a big, scary bear. Ew. That's going to be... 24.
24 is a miss.
Flat-footed. Oh. Flat-footed?
Flat-footed? Is that considered flanking?
Oh, wait, sorry.
Flanking with the Yellow King.
Also, it's 25. I messed up.
Is it really flanking with the Yellow King? Does the Yellow King count as a creature in terms of
Yeah, the Yellow
allies?
King is a creature in combat. It can, it does have an unarmed attack, so, I mean, it is, it's in melee. It could attack.
It would still be a miss.
I said 25, though. I made a mistake.
Oh, well, if Joe isn't just fabricating this, which by the look of his stupid face he is, he's getting caught up in the moment over there, then that would be a hit.
I think Joe's telling the truth, and I'm just going to roll my damage of my bite.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's...
I'll put it in pencil next to the creature.
Eight damage plus nine.
Eight so damage plus nine. So you want to call it 17?
Yeah, I'd like to call it 7. Is that the number? Yeah, right. I can call it 17.
All right, so 17 points of damage, possibly, to this possibly flanked creature. You have two more actions.
Yeah, I'm going to bite again at the same guy. Is he looking weak, this denizen?
Yeah, he's been pretty beat up. And okay. Standing up, he took another blow from Ethel.
Natty 19.
There you go.
That's going to hit even with the minus 5. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, it definitely will. That's going to be a... gosh, 30...
Yeah.
Minus the 5. Yeah, it's like a 29 or something.
Okay, yeah, that's a hit.
All right. 2d8. Ooh. 5 and a 4. 9 plus 9. That's an 18.
That's great.
18 points of damage. Okay.
Sure hope he's dead.
He's still up.
Damn it. And then... I'm not going to hit if I attack again.
I'm just pretty low chance, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay where I am. I can... I'm going to stay where I am.
Stay where you are?
Yep.
All right.
Great. Let's take some bleed damage here. It's going to be 4 points of bleed damage, and then give me a flat check, DC 15.
Okay. 18.
Oh, yeah. The bear's blood has stopped.
Thank goodness.
Okay, great. Let's keep it going with Eris. Haven't heard anything from Eris the cute puker.
She won't be a cute puker because she's got two mouths. So she's
a cuker.
Yeah.
Ew.
So the one in front of me is already frightened, but the one that's right next to Atticus, the denizen, none of those icons being frightened, right?
Which one?
The one right below Atticus is taking persistent fire and has mirror images.
Okay.
The
one's right.
Yeah.
I want to try to demoralize that one. So Eris is going to be like, lean over around the first denizen being like, I'm coming
friend.
For you next.
Hey, I'm coming for you, fella.
I'm coming for you next. All right, let's see. Oh, natural 20.
Yeah.
Oh! So yes. That's a 34.
34. All right, so that would be just a normal success, but with a 20, that kicks it up to a crit. And what did you do again? You could
demoralize.
I demoralized you, so it's a critical success. They're frightened too.
Nice. Lowered MDCs by
two. Wow. So wait, does that go then to frightened 3? Or did my frightened go down by 1? I forgot to pay attention.
You were frightened?
I was frightened 1. The one.
Oh, yeah. At the end of your turn, it goes down by 1.
All right, so now it'll kick back to frightened 2. Yeah, I forgot to take it off. Great. Amazing.
Boop, boop. Okay, cool. So after that, I really want this baddie in front of me to go away. And I see this roof over here with some flavor wood on it.
So glad we see this roof.
So what I would like to do is, Eris, maybe from her vantage point, can, see a piece of wood on the overhang. So she starts, casting her casty stuff on it, her spells, and the wood grows, surprise, chicken feet, and catapults itself off
chicken
the roof
jingle.
And tries to, impale the denizen in front of her.
Okay. So a piece of wood that's lying on the ground, we'll say, sprouts chicken feet and jumps at the denizen of Lang that you just frightened.
Yes. No. It jumps in front of the one that jumps onto the one.
The one that's on its last legs.
That's in front of me.
Isn't that the one you just frightened, or was
no,
the one
No, I tried to frighten the one next to Atticus.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let me... I messed
Should
that
be
up.
Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't think that one was frightened before, but whatever.
Yeah, anyway. No, that's why I got confused. Okay, so that one's frightened. One's got a few conditions, and then this one now has no conditions. Perfect. Frightened is the white flag. Okay, so roll to hit.
Okay. Well, that's a natural 4. That's a 20.
That is a miss.
Damn it.
Damn it.
I tried to do the poor thing of having it jump off the roof, and it just kind of didn't. The wind blew it.
Chicken shingle fell to the floor.
Chicken shingle did not live up to the hype of his cousin, Chicken Poon.
Fake curse. Chicken shingle.
Chicken shingle.
Grandma.
Weirdly specific
chicken
exclamation.
Shingles.
Ah, chicken shingles.
That's my turn.
Oh, that's a hell of a turn there. Let's round out the round with Aldo.
Oh.
Remember Aldo?
Yeah, I kind of remember him. All right,
Aldo's doomed.
I am doomed. I'm not feeling... I'm feeling very protective of myself. I feel if I go down, it could be it for Aldo. So I'm going to throw an moderate acid flask at the denizen of Lang closest to me through that little gap there in the line.
Okay.
Petty corner. That is a 28 to hit.
28 to hit.
Okay.
Nice.
That is 5 points of acid damage right now, and they will take 2d6 persistent on their turn.
Woo! Okay.
With my second attack, I'm going to go ahead and throw a bottle of lightning. And see there. Ooh, that is a 13 to hit. That's a miss.
Okay.
And then I would like to aid another as for my final action. I would like to aid Ethel in his next attack.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, and I would like to use... So, what is... Are these guys are occultism?
Yeah, you've been learning a lot through occultism.
Okay. Can I make an occultism roll to try to direct Ethel on his next attack as the most effective way to hit these guys?
Oh, yeah. I like that. Okay. Yeah, so when it comes to Ethel's turn, you'll roll that and see if you're able to help. Okay. With that second attack that you missed, does it still take splash damage?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. That is 4 points of splash damage.
The reason I ask is it had 3 hit points left.
Oh, nice! Great. Okay, awesome. Thanks for the reminder there.
Kills it with the splash damage. And that is the end of round 4. 1 down, 2 to go. Before we jump into round 5, let's take a quick break. I think there's a chance you could finish this here in round 5. But I don't really care. So it is number 2's turn. This is the one that stepped away from Suki. Still flat-footed until it moves another 30 feet. And only one image to go. He sees the king in yellow and doesn't understand why he is not in fetters. And so he doesn't like this, and he says something, but he's like, you take care of the king, and I'll go after the caster. He is going to... Shit. What do I want to do here? I'm gonna come up to Eris.
You're gonna first come action, up to me like that?
Right up to Eris, and I'm gonna try and bite you. And I'm going to roll a 3 and miss because I cannot roll above 15. And then I'll try again with the same bite. Okay, that actually might hit. That's going to be a 30, even with the map.
Yeah, that hits. Is that slashing, by the way?
Oh, it's piercing because I'm biting you with my sharp teeth.
Ew.
And you're going to take...
How uncouth.
Ooh. Yeah,
rude.
Ooh, that's some damage. That is going to be 20 points. Of piercing damage.
Okay, but listen. Hold on.
I'll listen.
You do that. That's like a melee strike?
Yes.
Well, whatever
Why
you
are you
bit,
asking?
Where are you going with this?
Wherever you bit on me, just like, yawns open.
Oh, come on.
Appalling my attacker, and you must succeed at a fortitude saving throw against my class CC or spell
Amazing.
DC.
It's like it bit you. And your wound, like, kind of kissed it back.
Yeah.
It was just like,
that's what I got.
All right, so I got to roll a fortitude save. Well, you got to roll a fortitude save as well. So we'll roll them at the same time.
Okay.
I rolled a 30 for my fortitude save.
Well, you pass. I rolled, risk fortitude, a 22.
You failed.
Well,
you are clumsy one.
Oh, man.
Clumsy.
From the debilitating bite. Skid, tell us about clumsy in Pathfinder 2.
Clumsy is a condition in which you have less agility than you had before you incurred the clumsy condition.
That's correct. There are no mechanical penalties.
It's really it's a more esoteric.
It's more
kind
of a flavor condition.
Yeah, it's a flavorful kind of. Yeah.
You take a status penalty equal to the condition value to dexterity based checks and DCs, including AC, reflex save, ranged attack rolls, and skill checks using acrobatics, stealth, and thievery.
Skid was thinking of the playtest.
Yeah, sorry.
Where it was purely flavor, but people didn't like that.
I didn't know if that was eroded or not. I was trying to think.
So I don't know if this will really hurt you too much. But your AC is lowered, so that's pretty good. Okay, so that is his turn, and then it kicks over to Ethel.
Okay, Ethel is going to slide down with it to go after this denizen that's now menacing Eris. They keep menacing Eris, and I will do a double slice, Warhammer, and Scimitar. Scimitar is the orange die.
Okay.
No natural 20. That's going to be a 32 on the Warhammer and a 25 on the Scimitar.
Okay. The Scimitar misses. The Warhammer hits, but there's still an image there. He's still flat-footed, right? Is this the flat-footed guy?
The guy, right. the running man?
Yeah. So there are two hits. So the Warhammer, roll a d6. If you roll 1 through 3, it hits with the Warhammer.
4.
All right, so yet again, the Warhammer destroys the final image, and then the Scimitar is a nice clean hit.
Okay, I got to roll damage, not the Scimitar, to hit again. That will be 16 points of damage from the Scimitar.
Okay. Unrelated. I have an itch on my back that makes me want to end this episode. So I'll see you guys later.
while you're ending the episode, I got to do my aid.
Oh, is your aid!
Is there a chance I could bump him up to a crit with a successful aid?
Yes. You rolled what, a 32?
That was on the Warhammer, though, the Warhammer. So I could crit an image. What happens when you crit an image? Is that in 2E? Does that make it?
So this is something we haven't been doing. When you crit an image, the image gets destroyed, and it's a hit.
Oh,
that's fun.
This could have real impact.
Okay.
Yeah. It is, surprisingly, the last sentence of this spell.
It wasn't me.
That little nugget.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Skid, what's going on? Wait, is Skid aiding?
Yes.
Yes, I was waiting for the song to complete.
He likes that jam.
That is a 17 on my occultism check.
Now, the book likes a DC 20, but I want this combat to be over. So that sounds like a crit.
It sure does. All right. Yes.
All right, let me get some D8s.
Aim for the flat top.
And the chat goes wild.
W's in the
Matthew,
chat.
So, Matthew, normal damage. Normal damage.
Normal damage.
Yeah.
That will be 19 points of damage.
Mm. 19 points.
Wow, that Warhammer. Kicks.
2D8.
It's got a little kickback. And you still have one more action, right? Because you that's two Johns. Okay. Great. Well,
I could, if I had another action, I could flense you. Sadly, I don't have another action.
Didn't Pathfinder give you enough actions?
You can always get more action. You can always get more action.
That's true.
Yeah, where's Eris with a little haste?
All right, it is.
Who casted haste? Was that Eris?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
This guy's got three images over here. Atticus, you're still invisible because you haven't done anything offensive. He sees the king, and he goes to grab the yellow king to restrain him. What happens?
Well,
and not your interpretation of what happens. What does Jason Bulman say?
I
get him on the phone.
Yeah, it just doesn't say anything. So I think you just need to roll a will save to disbelieve. Mm. And if you believe it, then I think what ends up happening. Oh no, yeah, you can grab it. It's real to the touch and everything. It's not like it's like a, you know, a hologram. It's not a hologram.
It's a real. All right, so you create an illusion that I just go and touch. Do I have to roll a will save? I'm interacting with it. Doesn't it work at all like that? I roll a will save.
Yeah, to disbelieve the illusion when you. It doesn't say that. I mean, it's basically, it says it generates appropriate sounds, smells, and feels believable to the touch. But then it just vaguely says, oh no, any creature that touches the image or uses a seek action to examine it can attempt to disbelieve your illusion. So it's a will save.
It's a will save. That's what we're looking for here.
Yeah.
All right. So it's really like, get out of here, you yellow king. Oh no, I'm grabbing at this fucking thing and I rolled a natural 2. Don't die, looks like I got him.
Yeah. No, I'm serious, Troy.
I got him, everybody. Everything's
that's the
cool.
Best part. And he just starts going like, no, oh no. This is amazing.
All right, so I'm holding you, and of course that was my first action, so I want to throw you to the ground and tie you up.
I guess okay. He should. He probably should.
I mean, what you're doing is you're burning through my actions.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right, so I feel like I've successfully grabbed you. I say, ooh, come here, you, have at you. And he goes to, like, throw him to the ground.
And he goes, oh!
Joy, is this an accurate description of what the Yellow King sounded like?
That's spot on.
Okay.
all right, that's going to be a 27 on the will save.
You just keep doing it?
No, it would just be for your one turn, wouldn't it
be? I mean, this is the thing with illusion. Like, if I disbelieved once, do I lose the whole round, or do I lose an
action? Why not?
I say yes.
Why not? You failed the roll. Give me one round.
I hate this. Give you one round. Okay. All right, you. First action, he grabs him. The second action, he throws him to the ground. And the third action, he kisses him passionately.
Whoa.
Sorry, something came over me.
Passionate kissing is two actions.
Yeah,
it'll just spill over into the next round.
I think it's awesome and a very important difference. There are other creatures that it would just attack, and if it hits it with a strike, it destroys it. So, like,
he's
you know, but
on
this
by the
particular
worst
image
of magic in the game,
this particular school of magic, or the asshole, this particular creature, you are inclined to capture and not kill. I think it's awesome.
It's true. He does not want to kill him, and somewhere along the way, he caught feelings. So that's his round.
Romantic feelings for the Yellow King.
I dreamed of this. I was so afraid to share.
Back when Ray Raleigh had you, I wanted to kiss you so badly.
It's Atticus's turn.
Let me taste you.
Will you sustain the spell and kiss back? It's your turn.
I will sustain the spell.
And kiss back.
You're like, yeah, why not?
Get off me!
I'm going to... All right, Atticus is going to sustain the spell. The Yellow King is then going to bite the denizen of Lang as he's, like, kissing him. And so he's going to try to, like, just bite him and really, really freak him out. Okay. So this is straight up attack roll against you, against your AC. I rolled a 34. And so that's a hit.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
And so he believes this thing is so real. He's taking mental damage.
He takes mental damage.
Oh,
and he takes
me.
Max mental damage.
Oh.
Eight points of mental damage.
Wow.
I've been bitten in real
life.
I'm so sorry, but my brain will not allow me to do this. He has, like, images, right?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's right.
That's true. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but the real one would... would grapple him. I mean, do all the images just copy what he's doing?
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to do, Troy? Do you want me to roll to destroy an image? Or, I mean...
We're getting into it tonight.
This is the debate here. Is the illusion that he is holding against his will on the ground, as the illusion goes to bite him, does the illusion have to actually hit the creature, or does it bypass the images? It doesn't even exist! It is just attacking the mind. If you were to cast a mental spell on a creature that had multiple images, would you have to roll against the images?
No. Okay.
What?
I was going to say you would if it was a ranged strike.
If it was a targeted spell.
If it was a targeted ranged attack roll, you would have to.
Right.
If it just gave you a save, it doesn't. But this is an attack roll, not a save. So
I think you do need to roll against the images.
Okay, and there are
how
many?
I was ready to give it to you, but you talked yourself out of it.
There are how many?
He's got max images. So you got to roll.
So he still has all three images?
Yeah, so you got to roll, one on a 1d4.
Okay. I rolled an 8 on a d8. So a 4 on a d4. So it destroys an image.
Did you roll a d8 or did you roll a d4?
I didn't have a d4 on me. I rolled a d8, but it's the same thing.
Do you own a d4?
It's just not with me at the moment.
Joe, do you need me to lend you a D4?
They're not safe with
kids
in the house.
Actually, I don't think I have one either. Oh, wait, here.
Kate's got one.
I found one. What does it matter? Yeah. All right, I'll roll again.
I want you to roll the D4.
Sure.
It's just embarrassing.
Ah, two. You lucky bastard.
On a D8, that would have been a one.
Exactly.
all right, so your illusion destroys an image?
So weird. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, all I can think is,
Suki, you're a bear.
Look, the mirror image is generated. Mirror image is an illusion. It is generated by his mind and in their figments that you see. In his mind, the thing just hit an image. It convinces him it's real, and the image is destroyed. Perception is reality. This is awesome. Stop being jerks.
It's psychosomatic pain.
Have Suki a little imagination for a minute.
This is awesome.
Sorry. So that is one action. Then Atticus is going to move into the doorway. And can I see up into this doorway? It looks like there's an opening here, but I'm not sure how far he could see. If it's just a hallway or if it's just another room.
Yes, but hold on, Ethel. We forgot to do your bleed and mental. So
do the flat checks first?
Yeah. I'll give you the damage first. 4 points, 4 and 4, so 8 total. And now give me 2 DC 15s. First for the bleed.
19.
Nice.
And 3 on the mental.
All right. Well, hey, mental's a lot less, so.
No more bleed.
No more bleed. And then my dude, Joe, before you go there, he was frightened. Oh, no, this was the one. Flat-footed. He's still flat-footed. He has one image left. Can't remember what that circle is, but okay. Atticus, you go look out the door.
Yeah, but I was thinking differently. I'm still going to do this, but I was thinking I was invisible, but I'm not invisible as soon as that guy attacks one of his mirror images. So he becomes visible, but he's walking past this doorway, and I want to see if I can see anything. Because, you know, they motioned up there. They looked through that door. He feels like Wei-Rali might be right through here. So he's just trying to see if the enemy
is ajar right now, and so you can see out along
just partial.
The left side there, yeah.
And that's as far as I see, is like 10, to, not even 10 feet.
Yeah,
wide
the wall of that outside room is the same width as the room you're in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what about the depth? Like this, is that a wall? Like right
no,
there?
No, I'm just like, I'm using the slant of the doorway to like show you the extent of your vision, you know what I mean?
All right, yeah. Okay. In that case, I'm going to attempt to stealth up to the door and just peek. So I'm going to attempt a stealth check to peek into the room around the door.
All right, give me a stealth check.
And not be seen doing it. That is a natural one. Wait, I might have to hero point this.
I always forget about this.
Yeah. Oh, this is a tough situation. Yeah, I'm going to hero point it.
Okay.
I'm going to reroll that stealth.
Reroll.
Natural one.
Oh my god.
You had a lot of luck with those today.
Jeepers!
You exit the room. Into the next room.
I don't exit the room. I peek around the door.
Aren't you invisible?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
I became visible when my illusion attacked the guy.
Oh. Okay.
You peek out the door. And you see a rooftop. You actually took a peek out here your first time when you came after you spoke to the Yellow King. if you remember, there's a part of the building that's like crumbled. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where you could access this area from outside or from another hallway from within. But all that is crumbled. So it's completely exposed to the elements out here. And there was nothing out there before. Well, now it's dark. And there is something out there. So I'll reveal it to you.
Whoa.
Is a massive blue scaled dinosaur looking creature with enormous wings and a howdah strapped to its back.
How do you do?
And you peek out and it just turns its head towards the door.
Oh, God.
And like blows smoke out of its nostrils.
Atticus stumbles back. All right, so that was I have one move action, and then second move action is going to be to move past. Oh, boy. I'm going to move past Aldo onto the top of the stairs and just be like,
There was a hideous creature in there. Something unbelievable. This is a nightmare.
Because that is what I am feeling right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is the best way I can describe it.
A horrifying nightmare.
Then it's Suki's turn.
Okay. I'm still a fucking bear. And Suki goes, and she's going to chomp at
that's Suki.
That's Suki. This whole combat, that's been Suki. She's going to chomp at the denizen of Lang, who she's been attacking.
Okay.
I'm trying to kill it. Natural 16 plus... It's going to hit. It's plus... plus 16.
Plus so 16, 32. That's a hit. Yep.
And attacking with my jaws again. Ooh. Ho ho. 14 plus
9. 23 points of damage.
Wow.
Nice.
Joe, did you sustain the illusion?
Yeah, I just sustained the illusion and moved twice.
Okay.
So that was my first chomp, and I'm going to attack the same denizen. How's he looking? I thought he was not looking good.
He's looking all right.
What?
Okay. Remember, these guys have fast healing.
Oh,
they're like,
shit.
At the end of every round, they're getting some HP back, so you really have to, like, zone in on one. Take that guy out, zone in on the other guy.
Second
attack.
Which
you guys are doing.
Second attack I don't think is going to hit. That's a 23. Or 24.
24, no, even though it's flat-footed. That is not a hit.
Rats.
One action left. You want to aid? Try to aid a friend or
yeah.
Do a knowledge check?
No, I'm a dumb bear.
I'm just a dumb bear.
I'm gonna aid.
Looking for a jar of honey.
I think.
Oh, boy.
I forgot about the honey. get the honey. I'm gonna aid Ethel. I've been trying to help Ethel out because he's been taking a lot of the damage.
Okay. Okay, when it gets to Ethel's turn, just remember you have that action to see if you can aid, and maybe I'll let you aid with a 17 instead of a 20 as well.
Not an 18 or a 19.
No, just that'd be crazy. 17. It's either 17 or 20. Great. It is now Eris's turn. Eris, a little clumsy right now, Eris is. Oh, you know what? Eris, you had 4 mirror images when I bit you.
Oh my god, I did.
Did.
So,
or 3 images. Or how embarrassing, so
Troy? Can you have a D4?
Can you retcon?
We are doing that.
I don't. Yeah, no, I do have a D4. Let's see if I hit. I please roll a 1, 2. All right, so you're not clumsy, and it takes away an image.
And I don't take 20 points of damage, right?
No, you don't take 20 points of damage. You guys will live forever. okay, yeah. I got the images right there on you and just forgot. Son of a gun.
Well, that's awesome. So Eris, feeling real good, not being bit. I'm going to cast shield on myself. So it'll last my next turn. Gives me +1 bonus of AC. And then telekinetic projectile, some wooden thing or whatever on the ground at this one that we keep hitting. That's right in front of us. So speed attack. Let's go. Eight.
Wooden scroll case flies.
So that's
shelf.
24 to hit, which doesn't hit. So I'm gonna use my hero point. Because if you don't use it, you lose it.
That's what they say.
And I'm just want to hit. Natural 10, so that does hit. So it hits.
Okay,
there you
what's
go.
The total?
It's a 10, so it's a 26.
Yeah, he's flat-footed, so it's barely a hit.
Wait, sorry, what was this?
Telekinetic projectile.
Did you, is it your second attack of the round, or was that
something
else?
It's my second attack.
So it would take the
penalty. It's not my second attack. I casted shield on myself. It's my second action.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, let me just grab a couple more D6s.
Oh, yeah? Do you have some?
Just need, like, a ton of them.
just need, like, a ton?
Just need, like, a shit ton of them.
A literal
scroll case.
Cool. 2, 4.
It's a jagged scroll case.
So that's 8 plus 4. So that's 12 points of damage.
Okay.
Dead.
Still alive.
Damn it.
But... He's very upset that he got hit by a scroll case. And you have one more action or a shield, two actions.
Telekinetic projectile is two actions.
Well, there you are. Okay. Now, shield. I feel like shield is something we were getting wrong as well.
So,
do you know?
I don't believe so.
It durates until the start of my next turn, and I get a plus one circumstance bonus to AC until the start of my next turn. Does not require a hand to use. It has a hardness of 10.
We haven't been doing shield wrong. Who said we're doing shield wrong?
It was something I thought we were doing wrong.
Guidance. Guidance.
Guidance. That's
what you were doing wrong.
We were messing up guidance. Yeah.
What was I doing?
You can't cast it on the same target more than once in an hour. And you cast it on yourself a few times in in a combat.
One episode. Myself.
It's like, I knew what I was doing. I just didn't want to be called out for it.
Just remember with shield, you can use shield block to like as a reaction, but then you can't cast shield again for 10 minutes.
Oh.
Which is basically within the same combat. All right. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right, it's Aldo's turn. Aldo, the killer of this group, the stone-cold killer. You saw Atticus run past you with a look of fear in his eyes.
Yeah, they have something, Aldo. Something we haven't seen. A Aldo, creature immense. Well,
I've got to say this to myself. And Aldo moves over, and he takes a peek through the door, and says, like, blimey, bloody hell, you were right. That thing's horrible looking. I don't want to go in there again. And that was
close
two
the
actions.
Door. Close the door.
Yes, third action, he closes the door.
That'll stop it.
No, I'm going to walk over and get a glimpse of it from adjacent to Ethel, if I can see it from there. So it's like, oh, no. And he would love to hit the guy that is fighting Ethel and Eris and Suki right now, but he does not have an angle on him. So he's going to throw an acid bomb, acid flask, on the one who is trying to grapple the illusion. That is a 29 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay, so that's 5 points of acid damage and 2d6 points of persistent.
Well, there's a mirror image.
Oh, okay.
So there's three total, right? So it's a D3 now.
Okay. D6. 1, 2 hits.
What if I had a D3?
Which I do.
Destroys an image, but he does take 4 points of splash.
Nice.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Okay. Is that your turn?
That's it for me.
Okay. It's going to be top of round.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Have another one more action. I'm going to use guidance on Suki.
Oh, thanks.
I keep forgetting I have the occult pendant, which allows me to do that. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Suki says, thank you. Oh, she's a bear. He goes,
where's my honey? I'm still pissed about the honey.
Any of you have the honey? Let me know.
Forgot about the honey.
I said there was honey! I smell it!
She loses her accent, too, when she's an animal. She's like, where's the honey? I'm from New York now.
This dum-dum here, it's top of round six. I'm taking that fire damage every round, this jackass. And
oh, wait, are you taking that acid damage? Or did that guy? Or did that guy beef it, who had the acid damage?
That guy beefed.
Oh, okay.
But
just,
I am
just for the record, beefed means die.
Yes.
Yeah. He beefed it real big.
Beefed means die.
Beefed it hard, Matthew.
Beefed it real hard. And so this one here to the south is also going to try the debilitating bite here on Ethel, and a big old miss. So I'll try it again. And misses again.
Yeah.
And then he's going to move to try and rid himself of flat-footed, but that will provoke from Ethel.
Okay, scimitar. Natural 17, so a 34 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that is a hit.
You want that natural 20
Dude,
so
and
bad.
And if you had rolled a 35, he was still flat-footed till he moved. That would have been a crit.
It wouldn't have beheaded him, though. It has to be natural 20.
That's right.
That's 10 points of damage.
10 points of damage. All right, so he gets out of the way, but takes a big ol' hit in the meantime. And now it goes to you, Ethel.
Okay, Ethel is going to follow, take a step up diagonally, and then I'm going to... You know what? I'm not going to do the double slice. I'm going to try to go for the natural 20. And just go scimitar, 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 because I actually, if I hit on all three, I get increasing damage because of the scimitar's forceful property.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Okay, so okay. First swing with the scimitar.
Just fire, fire, fire.
Natural 16.
Oh.
33 hit.
He's going to be dead before you can even cut his head off.
It's possible. all right, so you get three. You moved. So you
I'll do two attacks, yeah. Right, okay, so that's 10 points of damage.
Okay.
All right, and one more attack of the scimitar. Come on, natural 20.
Natural 20.
Natural 12. That'll be a 24 to hit, which I think is a miss.
Miss, yeah. oh, man, it's going to happen. It's going to be so sweet. Or it's going to happen against somebody significant.
I'm going to walk in there and take on the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Just start swinging with the scimitar.
All right, so that was Ethel, and now it is Dennis.
Oh, give me my mental damage.
Oh, yeah, your mental damage. Give me a flat check. 2 points of mental.
10 on the flat
10
check.
10 on the flat. Man, that is persistent. All right, the one right to the north there is still struggling against this yellow king.
Get off of me!
Tell me. All right, so another will save. I better pass this will save. All right, I rolled one higher than last time, so that is a 28.
That's a success.
I rolled a 27 last time.
You rolled a natural 2? You have a plus 25?
I have a plus 17, Wilson.
You said you rolled a natural 2.
Yeah.
When? Last time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then I rolled a 19. I thought I rolled a 27. Anyways, I rolled a 28 now.
Yeah, that's a success. So you disbelieve the illusion.
I said, Who did I kiss? Well, then, so now he's gone, right?
No.
He stays out there?
Okay. You just know that he's not really the Yellow King, but he's a combatant.
This isn't the Yellow King!
But you know that it's like, it's an illusion. It's a figment of your mind, but it feels real to you, you know?
No, something isn't right here. Something isn't right.
He could keep kissing him.
It's this guy's fault. And he attacks Ethel.
With a kukri. Come on.
Ooh, natty 18.
From prone.
Because he was on the ground. Yes.
You said, I'm misquoting you.
It's true.
He wrestles him to the ground.
That's true. all right, so from prone, he slashes at you. Would have been a 36, so now it'll be a 34. Is it minus 2 to attack while prone?
34 hits, but it's not a crit.
Would 36 have been a crit?
Yes.
Oh, damn it. Why? Damn it! All right, so that is 16 points of regular, and the bleed comes back.
Ethel is low on HP.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's got one attack left, and he misses with a 20, and Ethel gets that bleed back. So Ethel's been taking it here. Let's see if you guys can finish it off. Atticus.
Atticus is going to he'll spend an action to sustain the Yellow King.
Okay.
Who will then stand up.
Oh.
And I can't control him, but move him over in between the two denizens. And the one at the bottom, he's like, I'm coming for you. And he starts coming toward the other one in a threatening manner.
Okay.
And Atticus will... he's going to step up into the room and cast shield.
Okay, Atticus steps up, cast shield. Suki.
All right, Suki is going to move toward... the denizen in the lower corner that the king just went after. And I have 10-foot reach as a bear, so I can stay further away where I am, and I'm just going to lunge at him with my jaws again, because my bite is stronger than my claws. Just keep biting.
Okay, and you have 10 feet reach, right?
Yep, as a bear, because I'm large. Is that going to... Oh, my page just... 15. Yeah, that's 31 to hit.
Oh, that's a hit.
Or 29 to hit.
Yep.
And going to roll my damage. Really hope I just kill this guy.
Oh, hi.
11 plus 9. 21? I can't do math. 20. Jesus.
Both are enough to kill him.
Yay! All right. All right. So,
one lang left.
Do all large creatures in 2E have reach?
I don't know.
Does your bear say reach in the stat block? Do they say reach in stat blocks?
Yep. My attacks have a 10-foot reach.
Oh, cool.
My battle form is large, and your attacks have a 10-foot reach. I assumed it was all large, but... all right. I moved. I attack. If I move again, I can't attack again, but... I will move. You know what? I'll lumber as this big old bear up to the northern corner. I want to protect my friends, so I kind of... and then put my paws down and stand growling, foaming at the mouth. Bloody from this other denizen.
I like it, and we forgot to have you roll to aid Eris last time.
Yeah. That's lost it. Well, rats.
We got a lot going on.
I don't always need aid. Maybe I'm fine.
Oh, it was for Ethel. I'm sorry, it was for Ethel. I forgot.
But speaking of Eris, you're up!
Okay. I want this thing to die. And I'm gonna... It's got two images left, right? Or is it one?
Just one image.
One image. All right. Here's what's gonna happen. I'm casting Magic Missile as a three-action thing. So that's what's gonna happen. Pew, 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 pew! Or actually, pew, pew, pew!
okay.
Where's all my D4s? Oh, look at all my plethora of D4s.
Joe Lichabarro.
Right?
I've got plenty. Got so many extra.
So when I do that, 3. Oh, yeah. So that's 7-8 points of damage.
Okay.
Should I roll 1D4 for like that first one to see if it hits?
Doesn't Magic Missile always land true?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, cool. So you don't have to. That's a good spell to cast because you don't have to worry about mirror image.
Well, that's all my actions.
Love it.
Aldo, you are up. You're a Stone Cold Killer. What do you do?
All right.
Come on.
Aldo, he's like, I'm getting bloody tired of these bloody denizens of Lang on my bloody plane. Material plane. Or whatever. The dream plane, I guess, wrong. He's gonna throw a bottle of lightning. It's got one left. He's gonna throw it at this guy.
Okay.
That is a 31, and he has one image.
He has one image, yeah. So 1 to 3 on a D6.
All right. All right. So he takes 4 points of splash.
God. Every single roll. This that illusion of mirror image is so stupid. So I can see which one's the real one. Stupid.
He's no longer frightened. No images. He's wide open. Two more attacks.
All right. I'm going to throw a... pointlessly throw a fire thing at him. Actually, 26.
Just misses.
All right. This is another problem I have with the game. So we were talking about this, but I won't get into it.
No, tell me!
Well, just the idea of flanking, like, I understand, like, why mechanically, as a balance issue, that only the people on either side of him would be, count to be flanking, but it just doesn't seem to make any sense to me that you could be fighting opponents on either side of you and be distracted by them, but be completely able to concentrate on me, who's standing, happens to be standing at a 90-degree angle away from these other two people. That doesn't make any sense to me, but...
I agree.
We can't legislate all this stuff now. It's pointless.
Stupid. I'm sure you're right that it's a tactical grid game balance issue for whatever reason, but it makes no sense. And yeah. I don't want to hear any arguments from any of you dummies out there
yeah.
who tell me that that because it's a fantasy world, I'm ludicrous for thinking things need to make sense in terms of physics. Like,
yeah.
get the hell out of here with that. Yeah. It's nonsense.
yeah.
The that only is, thing that makes the fantasy world fun is that there are rules in it.
You and Troy I mean? Doesn't make the rules.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And not game rules, but
not
like
game rules.
Physical like rules.
A world that you can wrap your head around.
exactly. Okay, so 4 more points of splash damage.
4 more points of splash. Final action.
And final action, I'm going to clasp my hand around my occult pendant and cast Guidance on Ethel.
Yeah. Guidance on Ethel.
Surtur!
May one of your blade or your hammer strike true.
Well, he is going to need it. It's round 7. Son of a gun.
You thought this was over in round 5.
I just said it to say something. but it is now Ethel's turn because the denizen of Lang that had a higher initiative is dead.
Okay, I care more about killing this guy than I do beheading him, so I'm going to do a double slice.
Okay.
So guy, this is going to be plus 1.
A rare, unselfish move from Matthew Kaplikas.
Who said that?
Guidance gives me plus 1.
Sure.
Okay. I rolled a natural 19 on the scimitar.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting closer.
Plus okay. 1.
With the- it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still going to hit, but yeah. So
I think it should add to the yeah. result on the die.
It's like a pre-tax total. Deduction. You count the guidance before you add the modifier.
yes, yes,
that's it modifies yes, exactly. the die roll.
Don't add that before you calculate the tip.
That is a 26 on the Warhammer and a 36 on the Scimitar.
Oh, so a miss and an almost crit.
26 is a miss on the Warhammer?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
That's unless you're considered flame. No, you're not
flame. That's a...
even with... yeah, that has to go.
That illusion is in the way.
In Pathfinder 3rd Edition, I propose that any flanked creature is flanked for any opponent.
Agreed.
Great.
Flat-footed.
Flat-footed, considered flat-footed against any opponent when they are flanked.
Am I misremembering, or did they do that in the playtest?
I don't remember that.
I felt like that's what it was in 2nd Edition. Did. But then, like, I looked it up. We had to look it up for something, and like it says it right there. From yeah. what I can remember, like, to the creatures that are flanking you, you are flat-footed.
19 points of damage on the scimitar.
Okay.
And well, that's a good roll.
I'm going to swing again with the scimitar.
Yeah.
Come on!
Natural 20 doesn't matter, right? Natural 18, so a 25, which is a miss.
Oh. What's going on with your team?
And I guess now I'll take bleed and mental damage.
Yeah, you will.
How are you doing? Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Seven toned. That sounded like you, Matthew. Right?
yeah. I'm not okay.
All right, the flat check for the bleed.
7 total.
Natural 19.
Okay, no more bleed.
And 10 on the mental damage. So I continue to be racked by mental anguish.
Yeah, which was a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, seriously. It's very character appropriate.
Yeah. Visions of your ex-wife throwing your stuff out onto the sidewalk.
No, I spent a lot of time on that dollhouse phone.
All right. It is the denizen of Lang's turn.
Wait, he was prone, Troy. Did he ever stand up? If so, he would have provoked. And if so, does that give me a bonus to that one, that hit I missed on?
He was prone. You made me lay down, and I didn't take my final action to... All right, there was the...
I don't remember if I took my final action to stand up,
because the first one was to disbelieve the illusion. The second one was the attack, and you were like, you're laying down! Did I then attack again? I think I did attack again, like a dummy, and I didn't stand up. All right, so yeah, that was a hit. Again, give me the damage.
Yes!
God, he's so excited.
I rolled 2 ones. So that'll be 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage. Well, it's his turn. And he says, my friend maybe didn't get you, but I will. And he lunges at the king, Yellow King, and goes to grab at him. And I rolled a natural 3. So he thinks he's right.
and describe how you murder this guy while he's hugging an illusion.
I'm pretty sure that's the guy that already disbelieved it, but sorry. Go ahead.
Continue. Suki bites his face off or something.
I bite his butt because he turned his back to me. No, I think Suki, yeah, as a bear form, she's bloodthirsty. I think she just absolutely rips his head
just
off with her
mauls
jaw.
Him, yeah. Like
truly Revenant style, bites him in the back and like, you know, drags him across like a rag doll and then just spits him out, and she turns back to the group like a puppy, just dripping blood.
Eris pets you on the head. Oh, I love you when you're this way, Suki.
And he's dead.
The Yellow King turns to Ethel. Oh. Just lays a hand on his shoulder and says, "Your wife still loves you."
Oh.
And then he vanishes.
Everything you say is a lie. And I try to attack the Yellow King.
We're all real safe.
You don't know my wife.
I was gonna have Ethel.
My wife.
I wondered if Ethel should attack the Yellow King.
What round were we on, Troy?
You were in round 7.
Round 7.
No, excuse me. More than that, right? Yeah, no, round 7. Oh. That was round 7, and you're right, Joe. He did already disbelieve the illusion, but he only had 16 hit points left, I think, that the combination of Suki, Eris, and Aldo would have taken him out. So yeah. Now he falls. 3 denizens of Lang lie dead, but as you know, their bodies will disappear and reform on the plateau of Lang. They fear not.
It is only a temporary measure.
However, to the north.
Great danger to the north.
Atticus is whispering to the group.
How do I stop this mental anguish?
Guess if you just roll flat checks forever. So you probably die if you don't.
Magical healing won't stop the bleed or the persistent mental damage?
I think magical healing stops persistent damage.
You have that elixir of life.
Yeah, I will drink the elixir of life.
You can take steps to recover, or an ally can help you, allowing you an additional flat check. This is usually... Oh, that's something else you can do with your third action, is try and help someone, aid someone in their flat check, because they can roll the flat check twice.
Oh.
But... That's usually means you have to use 2 actions to do that. So, anyways, look into this. There might be something here you can do. But anyways, right, yeah, drink your potion.
3d6, right?
I think so.
As you're chugging that potion, and you guys are gathering yourselves, and Atticus is trying to explain what he saw, Aldo trying to explain what he saw, you hear a voice, a booming voice, coming from the direction of that dinosaur fucking creature that just, it sounds like nails on glass. It's like, "Who are you?" And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, this is going to be tough. I'm very scared. I'm actually very scared.
I don't think we're supposed to fight it. I think
we can parlay.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. They're probably looking to negotiate something.
Yeah.
We'll see you next.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.